Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
The readings from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist St. Luke. Let us attend. At that time, Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And the Lord said, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. Feast of the Dormition. Today we celebrate what is the greatest feast in the Church's ranks of the Mother of God, the Theotokos, which means Bearer of God. Bearer of God. There were some in the early days that wanted to call her Christotokos, the Bearer of Christ, or the Anointed One. But the Church Fathers and the councils decided that that was not enough to call her Christotokos, because it diminished the fact that she held in her womb the God of all. The Theotokos was the name which was given to her as an appellation for eternity. And so we celebrate this last major feast in our church here. We close out the calendar's festal cycle, which lays out for us the history of our salvation and the economy of our salvation in Jesus Christ with this feast, the departure, the Dormition, and then the Assumption of the Holy Theotokos. Bookends to the church year are Feast of the Theotokos. The church year starts in early September with the Nativity of Theotokos, and it closes with this great feast today, with her Dormition. Some might ask, why does the church calendar start and end with feasts to Mary and not feasts to Christ? And the answer simply is that she was necessary for the incarnation to occur. And without the incarnation, there would have been no cross, there would have been no sacrifice, there would have been no resurrection, and there would be no heaven for you and for me. And so it is that we rightly honor her who carried in her womb the God of all. On this day, Jesus Christ took humanity from her, and thus she's rightly honored. And today, the greatness of the Mother is seen in our lessons, as we look at what the church has put before us in the Holy Lectionary, to consider the greatness of Mary, and more so even, the greatness of he who she bore. In our epistle in Philippians, there are qualities of the Lord's person that are mentioned by the Apostle Paul. These qualities are qualities which he bore greatly, and which we would do well to emulate, but which the church puts before us as an example of the qualities that she bore. The scripture says that he was made, and he made himself. He took upon himself, it says, no reputation. The Lord came not as some sort of great Caesar or some sort of great prince. He came as a lowly human carpenter into a family of no reputation. And the Theotokos was born in a family with no reputation, not of some great royalty. She came also before us as one whose earthly reputation would not bear her eternal glory. And so it was that she came humbly with a reputation that had to be built on the qualities within, not the qualities without. It says of the Lord then that he took upon him. Voluntarily, the Lord took upon himself the mantle of human flesh. And so it is that the Theotokos voluntarily chose to follow God with all her life. From her youth, she was dedicated to the service of the Lord. And until her dormition, she maintained this voluntary taking upon herself of the mantle of God, the will of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to choose to follow the Lord. We need to take up his cross and follow him. We need to voluntarily decide personally to choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what the Theotokos did. And this is why this passage is set before us. The Lord, then it says, took upon him the form not of a king, but rather of a servant. And he said unto us that he that would be great among us must be also the servant of all. And so it was that service was exalted in the person of the Lord Jesus. And so it is that we see the Theotokos giving to God a life of service, a service centered upon this great incarnational truth that she bore in herself, God. She humbly accepted that form of service. And then it says of the Lord that he was made in the likeness of man and was found in the fashion of a man, and that he humbled himself. Humility is something also that we need to take up of our own volition. God doesn't force us to be humble, but we know that by pride the demons fell and Satan himself was cast out because of pride. Humility will exalt many. The fathers teach that if we could be cast down by pride, we can be risen by humility. And so it was that the Lord humbled himself, a quality which the virgin also exemplified. In humility, she served. In humility, she loved. Even perhaps in obscurity, she served. And lastly, it says the quality of the Lord that he bore was that he became obedient unto death, even in his case, the death on the cross. The Theotokos assumed obedience from her youth. And the quality of obedience, when cultivated carefully, comes up and springs up like a well inside of our souls, to where it becomes like a great tree. This, in her life, is what she exemplified. And this is why she was honored, as we read in the prologue, with such a falling asleep, painless, glorified by men and by women, put in a tomb, taken to heaven. This is the fruit of obedience. We cannot be deceived into think that there's no responsibility for us to follow God, and that we can simply live like we want, having some sort of mental assent that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, it says lastly of the Lord that he exhibited obedience, and his obedience was even unto death. This is the kind of obedience that God calls us to, not selective obedience, when we want to obey or when it's convenient to obey, but rather obedience as it would be unto death, the death of self and possibly the death of the body. The result of all this was that the height of glory was attained by the Lord. It says that God exalted him so that every knee would bow to him, every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That one could contain such a God who would have every knee to bow to him required holiness, obedience, humility, servanthood. All these things the Theotokos contained in herself, in her person. She was truly a pure and holy vessel, fit for Christ to dwell in. And so today the Lord says, I'll come and dwell with you. You'll be my people. But he asks for a clean vessel, and he requires a clean vessel. And so she was a clean vessel. She was prepared to bear him who was God of all, to whom every knee would bow. She was prepared to take him who is described as having majesty and glory to be given by every single person that's ever been created. She was truly worthy. And the mystery of the incarnation is herein revealed, that God would come in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And that he could be a man and God at the same time. And this became possible because there was a human vessel fit to bear him and to share in his humanity with him and to bear him and to nurse him, as it says in our Holy Gospel. The Theotokos contributed all this because she was meek and she was prepared. God desires to dwell in you. And if you're a baptized Orthodox Christian, God does dwell in you. Is the vessel fit? Is the vessel prepared? Is the vessel meet for him to dwell there? God wants to do great things with you, and he's looking at the vessel. And when he fills the vessel, as he filled the Theotokos, great things can happen. In our Holy Gospel, we see amplified something about the nature of the Holy Theotokos. Something about the importance of our godly life that perhaps we miss in this modern busy world. The story is given of the two sisters. Jesus entered into a village, and there he found two sisters, and they received him into their house. And it was that one sister, the sister Mary, it says of her that she sat at Jesus' feet. There's a picture there, isn't there, of sitting at the feet versus standing and talking face to face. It says she sat at his feet. She was still, first of all, sitting, hard to move around too much, unless you're a three-year-old. But as an adult, when you're sitting, you tend to be still. And so Mary sat in stillness, teaching us right away the value of something that we all need to partake in, which is contemplation. This contemplation, this stillness, God calls all of us to. The practical and the mystical merge together in contemplation. For contemplation opens to us the mysteries of God, and at the same time quiets our heart to receive those mysteries simultaneously. A physical and a spiritual realm that we enter into when we're still, when we're contemplating. And when we're contemplating not just another man or someone we can look at face to face and speak with as equal, we're sitting at the feet in our contemplation of he to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the position that Mary found herself in. And it says lastly of her that she heard his word. We can be exposed to many things about Christ, but do we really hear? Are our ears really opened to absorb what he's saying? Are we still? Are we quiet? Are we humbly there to feed on the great grace that he desires to pour out into our hearts? God is calling, but we need to be still. We need to be at his feet in humility, and we need then to listen. The contrast is then given to us of her sister, Martha, a good woman, a godly woman. There she was, the Lord says, cumbered with much serving. And she came to him, and she complained, didn't she? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Do something about it. Rebuke her. I'm sure she expected that. The Lord would say something. Instead, I believe he surprised her. He said, Martha, you're careful about and troubled about many things. But he said, there's one thing needful, and Mary's chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This little passage gives us a glimpse into eternal life. Doesn't it? It says it's not going to be taken away. Not by death, not by poverty, not by illness, not by anything. This good part wouldn't be taken away. It's a glimpse into what worship and contemplation really are all about. And not only that, but how important they are. They're vital. Service is necessary, yes. But what's vital, absolutely, 100% vital, is that we form a relationship with God that's based on worship and deep soul-felt contemplation. And this is something that will never be taken away from us. It will follow us into eternity. It's being in God's presence, truly. Not busy about cares of this world, but busy in worship, in contemplation, in love for God. It's a noetic, supernatural state. In fact, it's somewhat of a mysterious state, but it's a great place of blessing. And it's commended directly by the Lord Jesus Christ right here. This great part will never be taken away. And so it comes to pass that we move down the road just a little bit and get one more little glimpse of the Theotokos in closing our gospel lesson today. In the next chapter of Luke, there's two verses that we read. When someone exclaims, it was a right exclamation. They said, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." What a picture of intimacy between mother and child. No greater picture of intimacy than that. And peace, and nurture, and love, and completeness, right? Than a mother and a child together. And so this woman rightly exclaims, "How blessed is that womb that bore thee? How blessed is that womb?" And Jesus says, what follows is in no way to be interpreted as a rebuke or a correction, but rather as a magnification of the statement. "Yes, truly," he says, "truly that womb is blessed. Truly those paps are blessed. Truly this woman is blessed that bare me." But he says even greater than that is the fact that in this one, and as well as hopefully in you, there is a hearing of the word of God and a keeping of it. He takes us back full cycle to this blessed idea of obedience. And how blessed it is not just to have physical closeness to God by some sort of profession or sitting in this church or claiming to be a Christian, but actually being obedient to God. This is where the blessing is. This is how all of us are in the family. We're all connected. Though we don't nurse the Lord Jesus, far be it from us to be in that position. And though we're not bearing Jesus Christ, he lives within us. And he looks for this obedience. And he says, magnifying her, "Yes, truly, she's blessed." But rather, he says, focus on this. That she's blessed not just because of that. But she's blessed in a way that you can also be blessed. This is accessible to you, to each and every single one that hears his voice throughout the ages. That you too, if you hear the word of God and keep it, your end is the same. Your end can be like hers. Your end can be blessed. You can have an eternal relationship with God through him, through your obedience and your love that comes from your faith. Brothers and sisters, Mary was certainly living in a high place. When you read her life in detail, you see this constant idea of contemplation of God in her life, that she dwelt as a youth in the temple, and that she, in old age, didn't busy herself with the cares of the world, but actually served in love and contemplation. There's a service and an obedience that's higher than that of Martha, and that is obeying God and doing his will. It wasn't by chance that Mary became the Theotokos. From her youth, she lived a godly life, humbly seeking true communion with God, by prayer, by stillness, by obedience. May we rightly honor her today and always, but may we do so as unto God, following her holy example unto eternal life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.